The Gaura Gaunadesha Deepika, 120-124, states that Ramananda Roy was formerly... Who was Ramananda Roy? In the past times of Krishna? Who? Who? Arjuna, yes, correct. Pandu was Bhavananda Roy, his father. And also he was something else. He was of a female nature. Well, yes, Vishakha. He also considered to have been an incarnation of the gopi, which is? No, Vishakha. Lalita. I tricked you before. It's Lalita. Vishakha was another one. Yes, Sarvadamara. Although in the opinion of others, he was an incarnation of Vishakha Devi. So, you are also right. But, there was some of the Acharya that differ on this opinion. Some they agree, some they disagree. But anyway, we leave that up to Krishna. What was the truth? He was a most confidential devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Although I am a sannyasi, my mind is sometimes perturbed when I see a woman." Now, that's the Lord speaking, God. But Ramananda Roy is greater than me, for he is always undisturbed, even when he touches a woman. So the Lord here is declaring that he's disturbed by seeing a woman, and he's stating that Ramananda Roy is not disturbed even at touching a woman. So let's see what comes next. Only Ramananda Roy was endowed with the prerogative to touch a woman in this way. No one should imitate him. Unfortunately, there are rascals who imitate the activities of Ramananda Roy. We need not discuss them further. So Srila Prabhupada here is recommending to not discuss very much about those rascals. And anyway, so in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's final pastimes, both Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar always engaged in reciting suitable verses from Srimad Bhagavatam to pacify the Lord's ecstatic feelings of separation from Krishna. It is said that when Lord Chaitanya went to southern India, Sarvabhuma Bhaktacharya advised him to meet Ramananda Roy. For he declared that there was no devotee as advanced in understanding the conjugal love of Krishna and the gopis. While touring South India, Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Roy by the bank of the Godavari, and in their long discourses, the Lord took the position of a student, and Ramananda Roy instructed him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concluded these discourses by saying, "My dear Ramananda Roy, both you and I are madmen, and therefore we met intimately on equal level." Lord Chaitanya advised Ramananda Roy to resign from his government post and came back to Jagannath Puri to live with him. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see Maharaj Prataparudra, because he was a king, Ramananda Roy, by a Vaishnav scheme, arranged a meeting between the Lord and the king. This is described in the Madhya Lila, chapter 12, verse 41-57. Sri Ramananda Roy was present during the water sports of the Lord after the Ratayatra festival. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered Sri Ramananda Roya and Sri Sanatana Goswami to be equal in their renunciation. For although Sri Ramananda Roya was a Grihastha engaged in government service, and Sri Sanatana Goswami was in the renounced order of complete detachment from material activities, they were both servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who kept Krishna in the center of all their activities. Shishirada Gokulananda ki jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Sisigor Nitai ki jai. Sri Ramananda Roya was one of the three and a half personalities with whom Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed the most confidential topics of Krishna consciousness. Does anybody know who are these three and a half personality? One was Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar, and Sikhi Maiti, and the fourth one was a lady. Almost there. Madhavi. It starts with Ma anyway. Madhavi, which was, I think, either the sister or the wife of Sikhi Maiti. Now, this is a bit of a controversial statement here, but we're not going to meditate on it, because Srila Prabhupada is addressing a woman as Af. Three and a half. Lord Chaitanya. But not doesn't mean that half because she's not very important, but it meant because Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi and he had his restrictions to allow women close to him. So therefore the intimate association of Madhavi, it was considered to be partial. Let's say Lord Chaitanya will allow her not fully intimate, but it says here three and a half. So we can take it in that way, not because a woman they're half and a man they're one. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Pradyumna Mishra to learn the science of Krishna from Sri Ramananda Roy. As Subala always assisted Krishna in his dealings with Radharani in Krishna Leela, so Ramananda Roy assisted Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his feelings of separation from Krishna. Sri Ramananda Roy was the author of the Jagannath Vallabha Najaka, Nataka, and a purport. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaurvakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing the transcendental position of Ramananda Roy. Who is Ramananda Roy? And why he was very, very close to him. As we all heard from the purport, he was Arjuna. In his previous Leela with Krishna. And who is Arjuna? Arjuna symbolizes the eternal yoga between him and Krishna. It symbolizes how the jiva, it's very, very close to God. It's the closest link that we can have to God. And that's why there is a famous deity, Narayana Narayana Rishi. Narayana Rishi. That is actually the symbolic representation of God and the jiva always together. That's Arjuna and Krishna. So, Ramananda Roy was not an ordinary personality like us. He was a Nitya Siddhi. He never, ever fell down into the pool of this material energy. Nitya Siddhi is someone who is descending from the spiritual world, unlike the Sadhana Siddhi or Kripa Siddhi, who are ascending to the spiritual world. You have someone from the conditioned background who becomes a devotee, and then he advances himself to become a Paramahamsa. And that person, it can be of two categories. He can become a pure devotee by sadhana, like we are all doing, the practice of sadhana, or you can become a pure devotee by special mercy, by kripa, kripa siddhi. So those two kind of devotees, they both are from the conditioned state of life, which means previously they were in this material world, and now they are ascending into the spiritual world. But a Nitya Siddhi, it's a different kind of breed of a pure devotee. Nitya Siddha is someone who descends from the spiritual world, and he comes down into this material world by lila, not by karma. There is difference between the two. We take birth again by karma. But a devotee, a pure devotee, he takes birth in the pastimes of Krishna by lila. Helps the Lord to announce his pleasure in his transcendental pastimes, like Srila Prabhupada says at the end here. Ramananda Roy assisted Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his feelings of separation from Krishna. So he served Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to increase that feeling of vipralamba, separation. Because, as we read, he was Lalita also. And the business of the gopis is to always assist Radharani into the pastimes of Krishna. So, as far as myself, we are concerned, we are the conditioned soul is actually defaulted soul. Originally Nitya Siddhi, we were there in the spiritual environment, but somehow or another we defaulted and we came down into this material world to experience this unknown phenomena, which is the illusion. Illusion is actually something which exists in imagination, but it's not reality. So this material environment, the pursuit of happiness, the joy and the suffering that we go through, it's all part of illusion. It's there, but it's temporary. And the pain that we go through, and the joy, it's to make us learn, you know, what to be done and what to not be done. When we do something bad, then there is a reaction as a consequence. And when we do something good, then there is a good reward as a consequence. So this is called pratyaksha. And pratyaksha is it's actually applied by those who are intelligent. Many of us, we came to Krishna consciousness because of pratyaksha. We were suffering, and we don't want to suffer anymore. We understood between pleasure and pain, so therefore we came to stop the pain and, or you can say, to stop the pain and pleasure and transcend those two and become situated into the devotional service, peaceful, eternal service that the jiva is supposed to render to Krishna. So, it's interesting that the purport, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's classifying himself as lower than Ramananda Roya. Of course, the Lord Chaitanya, he was the catalyst of the 8 verses that we recite very often, 8 sloka, and one of them is Trinadapi Sanichena Taroriva Sanishnena Amanina Manadina Kirtaniya Sadhari. So you could see that he didn't just preach this sloka, but he activated the mood of the meaning of the sloka. He saw Ramananda Roya more advanced than him. That's the meaning of Trinadapi Sanichena. Now, if God, he sees himself lower than his devotee, what to speak of us? We should always see another Vaishnav more than us, and ourselves less than anyone else. This is the mood of Trinadapi Sanichena. Sometimes we measure our advancement with the road of pride. You know, I've been for 10 years in the movement, or 15 years, I must be more advanced than such and such. Oh, I'm a guru, I must be more advanced than my disciples. Oh, I am a vegetarian, I'm more advanced than meat eaters. Oh, I am a man, I'm more than a woman. There are so many concepts flying around in our mind, and they are all misconception. They're all part of illusion. Because the real truth is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the purport, Trinadapi Sanichena, you know, that I am a servant of God and servant of everyone. Now, if God himself is teaching by his example to... He became the disciple, not the disciple, but the student of Ramananda Roya. Now he submitted himself to this great personality, and he's a god. So what to speak of us? We should always, even the guru, I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he told me once, he said, thank you for allowing me to serve you in the capacity of a teacher, a spiritual master, and I'm none other than your servant. The guru serves the disciple how to advance spiritually, assist him, and to bring him close to Krishna. It's not the guru, it's not that he's mastering over the living entities, mastering over the material energy. And of course, we, on the other hand, you know, we are very grateful to have a spiritual master who upgrade the disciple in his spiritual life, and we offer worship. That's the proper etiquette. But both are servants, the disciple and the guru. So, Lord Chaitanya, he's saying to Ramananda Roy, when I see a woman, I become disturbed. Now, how can we understand that? God. God, He creates the living entities. And how can He be disturbed towards His creation? It's like a spiritual incest, in one sense. It's something that it is not true. We should not take literally. Krishna, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita in one of the purport that the sweet maker is never attracted by the sweets that he makes. So similarly, God is never attracted in a mundane way by the jiva that he creates. It doesn't create them in order to enjoy them sexually or sensually. So the Lord is just displaying His humility here. He says to Ramananda Roy, "When I see a woman, I'm disturbed. But when you touch a woman, you are not disturbed." He's actually here glorifying the position of Ramananda Roy, because he was like a lotus flower situated in this material world, but into the lake. But he was not. Sometimes a lotus flower, it grows out of the mud, very dirty water from the lake, but it's not touched by the water. So Ramananda Roy was like that. Internally, his consciousness was in bhava, in Krishna prema. It was always in the mood of serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of serving Radha and Krishna. Even though externally he was touching, like Lord Chaitanya says, touching the girls and massaging them, preparing them, for the dance, for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. But one should understand, that's why Lord Chaitanya, he classified him on the same level of Sanatana Goswami. Now, in one hand, you have Ramananda Roy, who was apparently acting like a debauchee, but internally he was not actually disturbed. But Sanatana Goswami, he actually was in the renounced order of life. So it was actually the obvious display of his renunciation. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw no difference between the two. Just like Maharaj Priyavrata, why is he celebrating the Bhagavatam as a great personality? Because he had two authority. One was, who were the two authority? They told him something different. Lord Brahma, who was a Grihastha, householder, and the other one was Narada Muni. Now, Lord Brahma came. Now, this boy was born as a king. Lord Brahma came, and both of them, they are Mahajans. Brahma and Narada, they're actually Mahajans. Now, it was a great predicament, because both of them, they gave different instructions. They said, Lord Brahma said, I want you to procreate, to get married and procreate the children, and help out into the Prajapati. So, but Narada Muni came and said, no, you should remain Brahmachari. So he was perplexed. He said, what should I do? Yeah, you have Narada Muni, the greatest of all the Muni, and he's telling me to remain Brahmachari, to not get married. And Lord Brahma, who is also a Mahajans, he's telling me to get married. So what to do? So what he did, very intelligently, by the mercy of the Lord, he pleased both of them. He got married, but Srila Prabhupada said in the purport, there in the Bhagavatam, that he was not even attached to one half of the, you know, fraction. Internally, he was not attached at all with his Grihastha life, with his wife and children, the kingdom. So internally he was completely detached, where externally he was doing all his duty as a king, you know, as a father, as a husband. And so this is actually, that was that's the position of Ramananda Roy. Even though externally he appeared to be touching the girls, which nowadays, you know, is considered to be like a pedophile. You know, if you touch girls and you're trying to, you know, it's a sacrilege. You know, it's not something common practice, you know, for an adult to do such a thing. But here, God, he could see that this personality, he was massaging the girls so that they could dance for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. And who is Ramananda Roy? He's actually the purest of all the girls. He's Lalita Sakhi. So what is the problem here between a girl touching another girl? We don't have a problem, right? It's not a pedophile or anything. You could see, you know, peers, you know, they can exchange, you know, their friendship in so many ways. But Mahaprabhu, he could understand that this personality is my eternal devotee. He knew, not understand, but he knew. And therefore, he even considered him more advanced than himself, who was a sannyasi. Here you have Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi, and sees himself lower than this Grihastha who is involved in these activities. So when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srimad Bhagavatam, we should not misunderstand or become disturbed by these phenomena, by these pastimes and activities, because we should understand the tattva behind it. We should go, that's why the philosophy helps us to understand the position of God, the position of his devotees. Akunda medase. Prabhupada said that one requires a spiritual intelligence to understand who is a devotee and what is God. So just like Lord Krishna, he was criticized on the Rajasuya sacrifice. He was criticized by most of the members of the assembly when they organized the Rajasuya sacrifice, Maharaj Yudhisthira. Then they proclaimed Bhishma Dev as the greatest brahmachari. And the Pandavas, they didn't have any problems with that. The Kurus, they didn't have any problems. Nobody had any problems because they knew that Bhishma Dev was long life brahmachari. Right? But then what happened? That Bhishma Dev said, no, the greatest of all the brahmachari is not me. There is somebody else that should be worshipped as the greatest of all the celibates. And that's Krishna. That's when the penny dropped. The Kauravas, how can you say such a thing? How can you say that this Krishna is a celibate, much more qualified than you as brahmachari? How can you say that? He's a debauchee. Look how many wives he had. 16,000, how many? 16,000 wives in Dwaraka. How many gopis? And not only that, Parakyaras, Parakyabhav, you know, he would go out and dance with the wives of other people. Now, Bhishma Devi knew the position of Krishna. At the time when he was on the bed of arrow, he's always uttama adhikari quality. He was not thinking of himself, you know, as a chatri anymore, but he saw Krishna as a Govinda, and he went into this bhava, and he was actually glorifying him for being the Paramdham, you know, the supreme pure person. And he could understand that you are none other than Vamana, Lord Ramachandra. Who is Krishna? Krishna is actually the embodiment of all these incarnations. And what is Vamana Deva is actually represents the celibacy of Krishna. Lord Ramachandra represents the moral conduct of Krishna. Buddha represents the intelligence of Krishna. These are all statements from Jayadeva Goswami. Then you have, who else? Nishingadev represents the anger of Krishna. Baladev, Lord Balaram, represents the power of Krishna. All these incarnations, they are actually representation. Parashuram is the justice of Krishna. Kurma, the humility of Krishna. So each incarnation represents, you know, his quality, godhood quality. And Vamana is the celebrated as the most celibate of all the incarnations. And that's the celibacy of Krishna. Now we go a little bit more deep. Why Lord Krishna, why Bhishma Dev, we saw him as the purest person? Because he could understand that all the gopis, they are none other than the internal potency of Krishna. God is made out of two potency, Sandini and Ladini Shakti, and then the third one, which is us. The Sandini is the personality of Godhead, and Ladini Shakti is actually the female energy of God, which resides already in God. And that energy sometimes becomes manifest. Actually, is always manifested. Separate, you know, it comes out of Krishna, and that is Radharani and all the gopis. Now, what is immoral for Krishna to have an affair with his own female energy? Because the internal energy of the Lord, it constitutes the happiness of Krishna, the pleasure potency. Just like, you know, if you are a happy man, and if I take away the happiness from you, then you are miserable. Because it's part of you, it's part of your soul, it's yours. You are the owner of that happiness. Nobody can take it away. It is within the core of your soul, not even the core of your heart. Because Satchitananda Vigraha, the soul has a form, knowledge and happiness. You can't separate the happiness from the other two things. So similarly, the happiness of Krishna are the gopis. And who was the so-called husband of the gopis? It was none other, Abhimanyu we're talking about, that we, you know, the Kauravas, they were seeing that Krishna was having an affair with Radharani, who was supposed to be the wife of Abhimanyu. Who is Abhimanyu? Does anybody know what it means? The Sanskrit word, Abhimanyu. See, that just the word, it makes us understand the truth. Abhi means two. Manu means a man. It means it's both. It's a man and it's God at the same time. So Abhimanyu, he was none other than the shadow of Krishna. He was none other than Krishna himself. He was from the Sandini Shakti. So Krishna expanded himself into Abhimanyu. And then his happiness comes out of Krishna and they both get married. Abhimanyu and Radharani. So, but both of them, they belong to Krishna. Abhimanyu is none other than God himself. But he's playing the part of man. Manu means a man. He's playing the part of a ordinary personality. And similarly, all the other gopis, they're all part and parcel of Srimati Radharani. So there is nothing wrong for Krishna to associate intimately with them, because they originally, they're all from his heart. So this is understandable, right? So we don't have any problem. If Krishna has intimate pastimes with his own female energy, I don't have any problem with that. And similarly, with the living entities, Krishna, when he says here in the purport, Lord Chaitanya, when I see a woman, I become disturbed. Even if Krishna is attracted by a woman, there's nothing wrong with that. Even if he's God, because everything is beautiful, everything which is created by God has essence and has purpose. It's created for his own pleasure. So even if he's attracted by it, it belongs to him anyway. So one should not become disturbed by this kind of statements, but rather try to understand them in the proper perspective, so that we don't commit aparad or offensive towards the lotus feet of the Lord. Also, if we sometimes, you know, the ignorance, the illusion, the lust, anger, greed, all these things, they're all created by God. If you read in the Bhagavatam that to feel these things is not a sin, to feel it, because they're part of the material energy. Now I'm saying something that probably you wouldn't agree, but actually that's the truth. If you feel these things, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, envy, it's normal, because it's part of the body, the material energy. And therefore, it is being created by Krishna to bewilder the conditioned soul. But we have nothing to do with these things. It is said that Krishna created this phenomenon, lust, anger, greed, but actually they're part of his back. You know, if you study the Virat Rupa, which is the material body of the Lord, which is this material world, and you find that these phenomena, lust, anger, greed, illusion, ignorance, they're actually part of his back. And it says, you know, that just like you never see your own back, it's impossible. If you turn your head, you can never see it. So the Lord is not aware of it. He can never see those things, and he's never implicated. But they are created by him for a purpose, to make the conditioned soul understand that this material world is a trap. So let's go back to the spiritual world. So Krishna has created this phenomenon, lust, anger, greed. It's not something that belongs to the soul. We haven't created it. It's part of the pradhan, the cosmic manifestation. Just like the mountains are the muscles of the Lord, the sun and the moon are the eyes of the Lord, the rivers, they're like the veins of the Lord. And so similarly, the ignorance and all these things, illusion, they're all part of the Virat Rupa, the material body of the Lord. But the Lord is never affected by it. So therefore, just like Prabhupada once was asked by one of the devotees, have you ever been attracted by a beautiful woman? And Prabhupada, he mentioned about they were traveling in a car. I think I heard this from one of the Prabhupada disciples, but I can't remember name. But and Prabhupada said, just like these posters, you know, you see beautiful models or whatever, but you don't do anything about it. Okay, you may feel attracted. So when you feel, you know, lust, anger, greed, you may feel it, but you don't do anything about it. You control it. Because they're part of this body, part of the material energy. So even if Lord Chaitanya says, when I see a woman, you know, my mind becomes disturbed. Just like for a sannyasi or brahmachari. When you see an improper image of a woman, you know, the mind becomes disturbed. That's normal, natural. We carry our mind around wherever we go. But the point is, are you going to do anything about it? Do you control your mind? Now, if someone comes to you and says, I have no sensual desire or sex desire, don't trust that person. He's trying to sell you something. Because it's not true. Everybody has it. Anyone who has a material body, he carries this desire with him. But that's why a celibate, we practice yoga. We control it. We control the desire. So there is no, it's not sinful to have it, but it does, you know, we have to control it. But it's a sinful if we use it, if we use it, you know, improperly. If it's uncontrolled and we follow the senses. Just like, this is the last thing I'm going to say. Maharaj Yudhisthira once, he went to Krishna and he said, my dear Lord, I want to reveal my mind to you. I've always felt attraction towards my own mother, Kunti. Because Kunti had a boon to remain youthful, like a 16-year-old girl. She had a boon from Durvasa Muni to be very young and beautiful, the mother of the Pandavas. And Maharaj Yudhisthira said, I'm attracted to her. And Krishna said, you know, are you going to do anything about it? What are you going to do? And he said, nothing. And Krishna said, yes, you don't do anything about it. So to be attracted by beautiful things is not a sin. But a sin comes when we do something about it, when we indulge. So anyway, these are a few thoughts from this purport, and we ask if there is any questions.